Hello and welcome. My name is Naomi Dunford, and you are listening to Module 3, Section 1, called Sales and Promotion Without Being Salesy and Promotional. If you're listening to this course in order, you should have just finished up How to Make Sure People Sign Up and What to Do If They Don't. If you're like most anybody, you find selling, negotiations, and asking people to do stuff really, really hard. I guess there's a little bit of good news in that. You have a lot of company, I suppose. But when you're trying to make a living at this, it's really not a helpful little character trait, is it? Today, we're going to talk about getting you over your fear of selling, or at least getting you selling, even if you're still a little afraid. We'll start with an exercise. I want you to think about something not business related that is a really, really relevant part of your life. Something to do with your hobbies or your interests, or your place in the world. Maybe your kid has asthma or Asperger's. Maybe you love, love, love oil painting. Maybe your marriage is in trouble. Actually think about it, because otherwise this whole exercise won't make sense. You bought this thing so you could get practical help. So let's keep it in the practical. Do you have your thing? When an expert you trust in this area has something for sale, and it can be a person expert, like Dr. Phil, or a company expert, like The Gap. Do you get mad when they tell you about it? I had an old client who sold a special kind of dog collar for greyhounds. See, a greyhound's head is smaller than its neck, which makes the traditional, see, you can't slip out of this collar because you can't get it over your head thing, not quite the deterrent it is with other dogs. Now, if you have a greyhound, the martingale collar is of profound interest to you. You probably own several of them. They're part of your life with your greyhound. And greyhound people are greyhound people. You don't just wander into a pet store and buy a greyhound because your kid whined for a puppy one day. Getting a greyhound is a political and devotional act. So, if I'm greyhound lady and I send you an email saying, yo, the new holiday collars are in. Get them while they're hot, because they're special edition. Once they're gone, they're gone. Are you mad? Even if you need another collar, like you need a punch in the nose, are you mad? Even if your husband made you swear on your own life you wouldn't buy another $100 dog collar as long as you both shall live, are you mad? Of course you're not mad. Now, let's change it up a bit. What if you signed up for Greyhound Lady's List because you heard she was giving away a free trip to PuppyCon? And now, you're getting all these emails about collars for dogs you don't even have. Are you mad? Well, you shouldn't be. But you might roll your eyes a bit and unsubscribe, yes? And if your boss was really mean to you this morning, and you're pretty sure your husband is about to run off with your sister, you might take Greyhound Lady's email as an opportunity to snap a little bit. Might you not? Well, here's what you're doing as a coach. You're looking at free trip to PuppyCon Lady and treating her like a potential customer. So when she unsubscribes or she sends you an email saying, I don't give a crap about your crapping crap crap dog collars, you get all wigged out. Oh my God, you're selling too much. You're being too promotional. You lost a potential customer. But you didn't. She's not a potential customer, and she never was. Potential customers do not mind when you give them the opportunity to send you their custom. People who might send you money one day do not get angry when you suggest that today might be that day. If they're offended by calm, legitimate, genuine commerce, they are not your customers. They never were. Now, when you get all hypey and ridiculous and go on Twitter and make a big screaming fuss about how you're so excited about this new thing that you're offering, and other people are so excited about this new thing that you're offering, and oh my God, it's just so exciting. Have you seen it? Have you seen it? Have you seen it? Have you seen it? Because take a look right now, or we'll take it away. Well, yes, that's obnoxious. But the selling part isn't what's obnoxious. The obnoxious part is what's obnoxious. You sound like a sorority princess telling me I simply must go to your party, or I will be the biggest loser in school, because it is the best party ever. And if I don't understand that, clearly I'm mentally unbalanced. And I smell bad. The lesson to be learned here is not to stop selling things. It's to make sure you're not obnoxious. See, you're in the business of helping people. Misanthropic meanie pantses do not go into the coaching profession. And even if you're not doing a whole lot of coaching right now, you're still helping people. How much blogging or newslettering or podcasting or radio show hosting have you done? How much time is it taking you to do it? It's not for the good of your health, y'all. It's to help. And when you're helping, you're not really selling. I mean, you are, but not really. Because where the selling and helping circles meet on the Venn diagram of helping and coachingness, you don't have to be helping everybody. You just have to credibly be helping somebody. And that's what I want to talk about next. Everything you do doesn't have to help everyone. It doesn't have to make every person on your mailing list say, "Oh my God, that sounds so incredibly fantastic. I need it more than I need air and the Backstreet Boys." In order for me not to be offended by your salesing, here's what you have to make sure of. You don't have to help every person. The thing that you're selling doesn't have to help me. You don't have to sell something that every person will desperately want. You don't have to sell something that I desperately want. You just have to sell something that other people could conceivably desperately want. If you're a nutrition coach and I'm on your mailing list because of some cool stuff you do about gluten-free cooking, I don't mind if you sell stuff that doesn't apply to me. You come out with a cookbook on kid-friendly peanut-free meals. Well, my kid can spend his afternoons blowing bubbles in a bathtub full of peanuts without incident. I don't want your cookbook. But I'm not mad at you for selling it. Of course, in this example, you're also not trying to convince me I want it when I very clearly don't. You're not doing the "it's so exciting" routine on Twitter. Take this course. It's designed for coaches, or people strongly considering adding coaching to their business. Specifically, it's designed for coaches who have a generally content-based business model. They probably blog, they probably have some kind of social media presence, or a substantial amount of guilt for not having one. That's not everyone. It's not even close to everyone. It's a new direction for me as a coach and ItiBiz as a company, creating products and classes that offer very specific, customized solutions to very specific, customized problems. When I created this product, I sent out emails to the lists of people most likely to be interested, but a lot of them won't be. I sent emails to my advanced discount list, even though that list is not segregated by industry. We have artists on there, and service providers on there, and information marketers on there. All sorts of people are hearing about this course who will never, ever even consider buying it. Some of the service providers are moving into coaching, though, so they might be pretty interested. Some of the information marketers are seeing a lot of demand for one-on-one work, so they might be pretty interested. Some of the artists are realizing other artists want their help, so they might be pretty interested. But a lot of people are simply not interested. Not now, not ever. And that's fine, because they're not pissed at me for selling it. They say, "Gee, I'm not into coaching. Delete." And it's no big deal. On the other hand, if I were to create a "this is the be-all and end-all of courses" product, and then hammered every list I had indiscriminately, telling them they needed to buy it, regardless of who they were, or why they were subscribed, or what kind of business and life circumstances they were in? Well, that's what we're trying to avoid. And seriously, it's pretty damn avoidable. This is not rocket science. This is coaching. This is helping people. Your classes, which we talked about in the creating classes that sell out, are helping people. Yes, they have to register for the classes first. That's called capitalism, and we can't really avoid it. Your coaching, which we talk about in filling your book and raising your rates, is helping people. Yes, they have to pay for the coaching. This is not socialism. Your coaching is unfortunately not yet subsidized by the government. And your products, or other people's products that you promote, are helping people. People are being helped. If I come to you and say, hey, my colleague Dave Navarro has a really cool workshop about writing sales pages that don't suck, this could conceivably help people, yes? If I come to you and say, hey, I'm doing a call-in class about starting a business after 40, same deal, right? What's so wrong with this? You might need help. I'm helping. All good, right? Now, in order to make this work, you have to deeply and profoundly believe that your stuff is helping people. Actual people. Not like, dude, people would love this thing. Yeah? What people? And why? What about it would they love? If you have concerns that your thing might not be actively helping people, you need to get in touch with a professional who can tell you if the problem is your product or your low self-esteem. It could go either way. I'm serious here. You have to be pretty in love with your product and what it can do before you can do an adequate job of selling it. You wouldn't hire a salesperson who wasn't on board with what your stuff can do, and you shouldn't be the salesperson who's not on board either. Like the Snuggie people. The Snuggie people, I imagine, pretty strongly believe that Snuggies are the bomb. You think it's a slimy infomercial, maybe. But when my stepdad was dying and moving caused him tremendous pain, the Snuggie saved his ass. It brought him a lot of comfort and warmth in a very painful, cold time. And when he did pass away, the person who got his Snuggie was pretty damn honored. If Snuggies can help people like that, imagine what you can do. Thank you so much for listening. My name is Naomi Dunford, and you've been listening to Module 3, Section 1, called Sales and Promotion Without Being Salesy and Promotional. If you're listening to this course in order, your next section is Getting Them to Actually Buy. I will talk to you very soon.